my husband and I were the first on both our sides of our families to have kids, which meant that our eldest was absolutely venerated by two sets of grandparents, aunts, and uncles. And there was something a little bit smug about being the first to become parents because we had experience that our siblings couldn't relate to. But then the others eventually started having babies, and I realized they'd all had an experience that I'd had to wait for. I was finally an auntie. And the day I met my nephew, my little sister's son, for the first time, less than a day old, was a revelation. He was a tiny human who was my flesh and blood. He was precious and perfect and a little bit mine, but without the compulsory nighttime waking and nappy changes. And I think it must be a little bit what it feels like to become a grandparent. Being an auntie or an uncle is such a special relationship, but maybe it's one we don't value as much as we should. So today, an ode to the aunties and uncles. And I would love to hear from you about what you love about being an auntie or an uncle, who you're trying to be in that relationship. And eminently qualified to weigh in on this topic, Auntie Kate Lever and Uncle Tiger Webb. Kate and Tiger, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much.
Hi.
So, Kate, you recently wrote a beautiful ode to auntiehood. So you say it's something you were born to do. Tell me about your quote-unquote feral devotion bordering on obsession.
I'm so pleased you chose that quote. Thank you so much. I've decided not to be a mother, and which was a painful process of indecision for me, but it was a real revelation when I realized that I'm meant to be an auntie, and it just feels like the right role in my life, and there's nothing I treasure more than being Auntie Katie. So my little sister has two little girls who are 6 and 4. Their names are Poppy and Bonnie, and they are the light of my life. They are cheeky, weird, gorgeous. You know, I'm devoted to them, as I said, in a feral way that borders on obsession. I cried yesterday afternoon because one of them was going through something, you know, that would be described as a minor inconvenience. I understand finally what it means when parents say it's like wearing your heart outside of your body. You know, yeah. I just really love them.
That's so, so beautiful. Tiger, you've been an uncle since you were 8. I'm wondering if maybe your experience with your at least first niece or nephew is a little different to what Kate's describing.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of co-conspirators, co-children at that age. I think I was about 10 or 11 when the first one came along. And so it's, you know, it's kind of playground trivia. Oh, you know, I'm an uncle. And then people look at you kind of askance, really? How? you know, the years go by and I've managed to become an uncle to children where the age gap is a little bit more sensical, shall we say. So two very different experiences, I think, of uncledom. And I think I hope I've been able to sort of help a bit more the second, well, really sort of third or fourth time around than the first couple.
With this niece or nephew that came along when you were an adult, was it kind of that feeling of going like, oh, this is what people talk about? This is what people like Kate talk about?
I think so. I mean, I think that it's a very different experience. Like for me, the biggest thing about it, particularly when they're that young, like when they get older, now they're sort of the oldest, this guy's the big rig, Rory is 7. You know, it's a bit different now, but back then it's like, I think principally it's just for me, something that I was surprised at how close it may be to, then have kids. We kind of went, it's just sort of shared vocabulary, something to talk about. Obviously I'm profoundly interested in the lives of the big rig and Mad Margaret, his little sister. So, you know, you can, it's this sort of, it, whatever else, you know, parenthood can do and uncledom and auntiedom can do, it does provide this like shared thing that's just always in your life that's material to talk about, you know, how they're going at school, what are they doing for book week, you know, yeah, they're still loving them to their little maths, you know, they've got some funny questions for you, Uncle Tiger, about language, can you answer them? Me, probably not. So it's that constant contact and relationship with the sibling, I think, is actually the most profound part of it, at least for now.
So, Kate, before you became an auntie, were you thinking much about that as being one of the roles you would eventually play?
Do you know what? I hadn't given it a lot of thought, mainly because it's so dependent on someone else's life choices. You know, I had to wait until my sister was ready to have children herself. And I was kind of preoccupied, I think, you know, because of social conditioning and expectations and all of that. I just always deeply assumed that I would become a mum because it's just sort of something a lot of people do. And so it wasn't till I think I was in my early 30s and I realized I didn't want to go along that route. And then my sister, bless her, got pregnant. And I was like, hang on a second. Now this could really work for me. And it's not something I think I'd sort of thought, yeah, I guess one day I'll become an auntie when my sister does her thing. But then I realized that being an auntie could be like a much bigger and more important and more central role for me than I'd ever sort of realized before. And that's meant a lot for me because, you know, I think I went to stay with my sister when she had her second. So there was a newborn and a toddler in the house. And anyone who's experienced that knows it's complete mayhem. Mm. And my sister sort of said to me, does this make you more sure than ever that you've made the right decision not to have kids? And I know what she meant because, you know, the house was a mess. It was loud. But I knew about all of that already. I'd thought about that in great detail. But I said yes, but it was more because, and I said this to her, it's more because the only thing I've worried about in not becoming a parent myself is that I am a very loving person and I do love children. You know, my first job was being a professional fairy, a children's entertainer. I've always loved children and there's something very childlike about me. And I just said to my sister that day, you know, now I know where to put all my love. Her little girls can have it all and they will. And maybe one day they'll be overwhelmed by it. But I, you know, I'm just, it's very important to me to be their backup, safe grown-up, you know, and their friend.
Absolutely. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to a former professional fairy, Kate Lever, also a journalist, and the ABC's editorial policies advisor for language, Tiger Webb, also a veteran uncle, about the joy of auntie and unclehood. And I'd really love to hear your story about what you love about being an auntie or an uncle. Kelly, I want you to tell me about when you became an auntie.
So I was three. I just turned three when I became an auntie for the first time. And 2 weeks later, I became an auntie again. So I had a nephew and a niece. And I guess I was very aware that I was their auntie. But in reality, we did very much grow up like siblings. We got all the fun, I guess, of being siblings. But then they'd go home and I'd have mum and dad to myself again. And it's just been, I've got 12 nephews and nieces in total. Most of them have had children as well. Yeah.
I'm thinking about your kids, Kelly, and how your nieces and nephews might be more like aunts and uncles to them.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And so it's really lovely now. Like we actually live, you know, at least about 9 hours from most of my family, but they're in New South Wales and I'm in Victoria. But when we get back there, my kids have all my nieces and nephews, who are very much sort of my age to 27. I'm 48. They go down to 27. And so they've got these lovely young adults who are really cool and fun and, you know, get to play, you know, they play guitar with them or have them on their shoulders when we're out hiking. And then my great nieces and nephews are there for them as this huge, big bunch of kids to play with. So it's, you know, spotlight in the dark when once we finish dinner or they're doing TikTok dances out on the veranda or, you know, they just have this great big bunch of people that they can play with.
Kelly, that sounds gorgeous. It sounds noisy, not unlike my own extended family. So, Tiger, Kelly's family sounds quite complicated. We might not wade too much into that, but you are our language advisor here at the ABC. Where do you stand on the word nibbling?
Look, fine with it. It feels a useful gap, being a gender-neutral term for that kind of familial relationship. I'd appreciate some people might not like it that much, but I don't get too fired up about that kind of thing. I quite like always, you know, men are such the beneficiaries of language here, but I like unk too, even though I don't really qualify. I'm a bit too old to be using the term, but it was funny, you know, thinking about all of the ways where like the words that usually appear before uncle in like English discourse are crazy, you know, weird or racist, sometimes rich. So, you know, it's historically been maybe not the best impression in the English language or the best connotation for uncles, a bit like stepmothers, really. And then you finally ever get this sort of this unc contraction, which is a bit cooler and a bit used by the youth, if only to signal how out of touch and daggy I am, which I'm completely fine with.
It's like unc is, it's unc does, I guess. You're listening to Life Matters. You're sending me your texts as well as giving me a call. In Asia, most Chris says, in Asia, most regular adult friends of a family are automatically called uncle by the children. So after 30 plus years, I have been uncle and am still uncle to hundreds of kids who themselves are now parents and probably uncles. That one is from Uncle Chris. Richard says, one of the sad aspects of being an aunt or an uncle is that once these kids grow up and build a life separate from their parents, they become distant. You can necessarily slide down their priority list and you rarely, maybe never see them. Kate, is this something that keeps you up at night?
Yes, a little bit, but I also just, I just don't believe that it'll happen. I mean, maybe I'm naive and maybe it will, but I think, I plan on having an adult relationship with my adult nieces as they grow up, and I hope they'll deign to still be in my life. You know, I imagine them being in my life all along, and so I'm going to think of that as being what will happen until, you know, informed otherwise. I imagine there'll be a difficult period when they're teenagers, when they might not think I'm the coolest person to hang out with. But I also hope that they might call me.
You'll be cooler than their mum, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hoping they might call me if they go to a party they're not meant to be at or get in trouble and they don't want to call their parents. I'm hoping I'm the person who could swoop in then and, you know, be backup emergency adult. But, yeah, I don't like to think of a time when they won't be in my lives because I just don't think that's going to happen for me. But I appreciate that it does.
Kate, if it's any consolation, I drove down the Gold Coast on the weekend to catch up with two of my aunties who I still call Auntie Margie and Auntie Lou. Greg has called in. Greg, you are an uncle, but you also have a special uncle in your life too. Can you tell me about Uncle Keith?
Yes, Uncle Keith. It seems like quite a few people, including your one of your producers, has an Uncle Keith as well. I think the special thing, and something you, maybe your guests will touch on, is that, and I think your guest just did mention that about stepping in when other parents or the parents can't, is that as an adult, particularly if you had an interesting relationship with the parent, they can fill in a lot of blanks in the parent's life as a child or growing up before children. And I think it's really absolutely invaluable in understanding and developing our relationship with our parent, be they alive or dead, and how we resolve issues if that's the case. Not to say that I personally, because I have had two wonderful parents, my late father was a fantastic guy, but Uncle Keith was able to share really great stories of my father and his other brothers growing up in Western Australia around Perth and so forth, both pre-Second World War and post-Second World War. And that, I think, was invaluable to understand my father and how he evolved as an adult, as a human being, as opposed to being a parent. And I think often if you don't have that opportunity to have that, I think sometimes, you know, not to say we all make up gaps in our lives, but you could be a little bit poorer for it.
Yeah, you get that that context for your parent. That's a really interesting perspective. Vivi's called in. Vivi, tell me about the special relationship you have with your niece.
Firstly, I have to tell you that I'm 82 years young. So it's an adult relationship now because my niece is in her early 40s. I only had one child and my sister only had one child and this niece is her one child. And I was not that involved with her when she was young because I was actually living overseas. But when she was a young adult and wanting to study to become a nurse, she stayed with me for a while, which was beautiful. But now at this point in time, she is my go-to person. She's such a wonderful, caring, support person. And although she has a family of her own, a husband and two children and a very high-powered job, she always has time for me and it's just a wonderful relationship.
That is beautiful, Vivi. Thank you so much for the call. You're really all blowing my phone up wanting to talk to me about being an aunt or an uncle. Matthew, you're an uncle and the relationship has shifted over the generations.
Yeah. Hi, Tegan. I'm now a great uncle. Which is
I'm
wonderful.
Sure you're a great, great uncle, Matthew.
In fact, the 3-year-old is enjoying the GGG, the great gay uncle, the gunkle, and she laughs at that. I think the point I was making was that, you know, it's been an insight or a window onto the different generations. I've got a nephew and 2 nieces who are now in their 20s at university in the UK, all doing very different things. I've now got the great niece. Sadly, I lost my nephew, the great niece's father, who never made it to 40 with cancer, which was a big loss. But the fact that one lives on with his widow and the great niece and get to see, you know, all of these wonderful characteristics I know well of my nephew coming to shine through is quite special.
Matthew, thank you so much for the call. Tiger, you were an uncle from way back, as you said before. You since have had kids of your own. How's that shifted that relationship for you guys?
It's been wonderful. I mean, you know, it's one of the best things that you can do in a way. Well, hopefully, I say optimistically, but you're providing my nephew and niece with, I hope, a friend for life. And, yeah, you know, quite a high quality one. Most people my age, you know, grew up with lots of cousins and the cousins may have been of, you know, for some people of variable quality, or the age gaps might have prevented, you know, real and fast, firm friendships forming. But, you know, in general, they love one another and they can't get enough of cousin time and hanging out. So, you know, I hope that continues. And I see, of course, like any familial or parenting experience, you see the reflections of what came before you. But, you know, the deep sense of happiness and contentedness you get with this idea that you are, you know, pushing them, nudging them towards this thing that in 30, 40 years' time, they'll be able to, you know, reminisce about their games of Spotlight or Tip or, you know, park time, whatever it was, you know, riding their bikes together. That is so wonderful and satisfying and makes you very, very chuffed. It's fair to say, very uncle word there, chuffed.
Oh, yeah, cousins are a true gift, except for when they're not, but then they quickly become a gift again. Katrina's called in. Katrina, you've formed a special bond with your niece. What does being an auntie mean to you?
I think everything. I think, as Matthew just quite rightly said, it's a friend for life. I've got a young nephew, but I've got a nephew and niece that I do spend a bit of time with. They do live in regional Queensland, so, you know, the beauty of technology is that we keep up on family WhatsApp and FaceTime and things like that. But it's a friend for life. I try not to provide too much unsolicited advice to them. But, you know, if they come to me and they're looking for advice, I talk to them about their careers. I talk to them about their relationships. And, you know, I'm incredibly proud of them all and I just love them so much.
Shout out to your nieces and nephews, Katrina. Thank you so much for the call. Kate, you say the role of an auntie or uncle is overlooked and undervalued. What do you think needs to change?
I just think, do you know what? It's not that I think uncles and aunties need, you know, a round of applause for their role. It's more that I think, like, I think the modern parenting is in a way broken, with childcare being so expensive and, you know, the split of labour between people. And we talk so much about how it takes a village to raise children, and yet we don't actually speak about who those members of the village might be and how important they might be, and also how important it might be to be a villager. You know, to more than anything, I just sort of want to encourage people who do get the opportunity to be an auntie or an uncle or a non-binary bonus lovely adult in someone's life to think about more intentionally about what kind of auntie and uncle they want to be, and also to lean into the beauty and the joy of that role and lucky lucky we are to get to do that. And also, I do think, I think we're in an epidemic of loneliness. It's a very difficult time to be bringing children up with the state of the world. I just think we should be sort of really appreciating and cultivating those relationships with as many loving adults as we possibly can for our children. I don't consider myself child-free. I consider myself child-adjacent. And I think there are a lot of people, I just think, celebrate the members of the village. We hear so much about needing to raise children.
Well, I'll give you a round of applause anyway. Kate, thank you both so much for chatting with me today. Kate Lever, journalist, author, doting auntie, former professional fairy, and Tiger Webb, editorial policy advisor here at the ABC, and a loving uncle since he was a wee boy himself. It's Life Matters on ABC Radio National. Coming up next, the legacy of a very famous auntie, Dolly Parton.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.